The group of seven world leaders from the USA, Japan, Germany, the UK, France, Canada and Italy have gathered together to lay wreaths at Hiroshima in Japan, commemorating the devastation of the nuclear bomb dropped by the USA towards the end of World War II. Now, neither Russia nor China is at this summit. And in the background, of course, this time, the war in Ukraine. There are reports Ukraine's President Zelensky will turn up in Japan to join the G7 leaders. For more, let's hear from Professor Donnchadh Ó Bualtáin, who lectures in international relations at Dublin City University. And these reports we're hearing this morning, Donnchadh Ó Bualtáin, of President Zelensky going to the G7 summit in Japan, the significance of that.
Good morning, Anya. Well, it's very significant, and in a way it demonstrates how this war has evolved. You might remember at the very beginning of the war, President Zelensky was reassuring his people that he was still in Kyiv and showing himself on his mobile phone walking through the streets of Kyiv. Now he's advertising to his people that he's meeting allies around the world because he knows that, you know, this war can only be won at home if he has the continued support of allies abroad. So we've seen in recent weeks an extensive tour of European capitals. And now, as you say, reports just breaking that he's actually on his way to Japan to meet the leaders of the G7.
And Ukraine and President Zelensky, they've made it very clear what they want. They want arms, they want money, and they want a lot more in time for the spring offensive. What will he get from whom? And particularly this question of the US, which still has lots of money, don't they, available to spend on Ukraine. But there's this question of the F-16s, the air power.
There is a disagreement among some of the European partners and the US about whether to give F-16s, which of course are made in America, to the Ukrainians. There's always been disagreements between allies. That's one of the problems, I guess, of having democratic allies, and in how much and what type of weaponry to give Ukraine at any particular time. But the agenda of this G7 will be multifaceted. They're going to not only, you know, agree on things like you know, how much support to give Ukraine, but also about disrupting, you know, Russia's ability to get materials it needs on the battlefield, to be sending signals to potential suppliers of weapons to Russia that it wouldn't be in their interest to gain the ire of the wealthiest economies of the world, and to close, you know, loopholes that have been used to evade sanctions, and to further reduce, of course, international reliance on Russian energy. So it's going to be about supporting Ukraine, but further isolating Russia as well.
And indeed, President Putin probably not having a great weekend, the G7 going on, but China's President Xi Jinping, he's courting former Soviet states with his own summit that started yesterday, isn't he?
That's right. It's a remarkable meeting and very much a tale of two summits. While the world's wealthiest democracies are meeting in Japan, China is having a summit of dictatorships from neighbouring Central Asian countries. The first of its kind. This is essentially what has always been considered Russia's backyard: Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. But as Russia weakens in the post-Soviet region, China is filling the vacuum, and China is presenting itself as a stable, reliable partner, which is kind of code for not Russia, because Russia is seen as an unpredictable partner now for many in Central Asia. And of course, you know, China, as it does in other parts of the world, provides a lot of investment in Central Asia with no lectures about human rights, which of course Central Asian dictatorships don't want to hear. So this is also something that is in the background, and Ukraine will also loom large at that summit as well.
And the fact that the G7, it went from G7 and then went to the G20, now we're back to the G7. Does that mean the era of superpower rivalry is back?
Yes. I think in many ways it does. You know, the G7 actually was G8 for a while. You might remember it included Russia.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so there was an attempt to include Russia and not isolate Russia, but Russia by its actions has proven that it is not a reliable member. Far from it, it has no respect for international law. So, you know, after the previous invasions, Russia was excluded. But you're right that there had been this attempt under Barack Obama to widen the G7 format to include other members, the so-called G20, and that includes countries like China and big developing countries. But, you know, the G7 has found a renewed sense of purpose, you might say, because of the war in Ukraine, the need to have kind of a solidified, cohesive actor which can coordinate the response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So yeah, I mean, it has been a kind of a revelatory period for the G7 in the last year.
And we've seen the G7 leaders laying wreaths at Hiroshima already. I mean, it's obviously a very moving image to see. But equally, Japan's prime minister admitting before the summit that goal of a world without nuclear weapons, we're now closer to that. In fact, that nuclear threat has been hovering there in the background, hasn't it, throughout the Ukraine war?
Absolutely. And Japan's prime minister said it's been his life work to rid the world of nuclear weapons. But as Joe Biden pointed out last year, I mean, the world is closer to a nuclear conflagration closer than any time in the last 60 years. Now, that rhetoric on behalf of Russia, which has been the one that's been, you might say, threatening to use nuclear weapons, has been toned down in recent months. And many suspect that's because of China's influence, because China, of course, does not want this war to escalate and is a key player in exerting some kind of leverage. If anyone can exert leverage on Russia, certainly it's China.
All right. Thank you for talking to us this morning, and we'll bring you any updates throughout the programme as they emerge. That's Professor Donal Bachoin, lecturer in international relations at DCU.